Luke chapter 3 is where we're going to be this evening in our Bibles. Actually, we'll be in three passages of Scripture, so once you find Luke 3, we'll start there, and we'll also be in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 13. So if you want to find all three passages of Scripture, that would be a good thing because we'll read them in succession. Beginning with this Wednesday evening, and for the next three midweek Bible study times, we'll be looking at a series focusing on having grateful hearts, in a series that we're simply entitling Thankful. People tend to spend entire lives chasing after careers, relationships, possessions, only to come away with the realization that they are less than satisfied. It's amazing how much we can amass as far as those areas go, the accomplishments, the number of friends or good relationships we can have, the amount of possessions we can have, and find that these things ultimately do not satisfy. Through these messages, we'll explore the biblical theme of contentment and how we can find it in Jesus Christ. And so look at Luke chapter number 3. We'll begin there and read verses 10 through 14. I'd encourage you to follow along, both those in the auditorium as well as those watching via the web stream. The Bible says in Luke 3, beginning in verse 10, "And the people asked him, saying," so there's a group of individuals, a varied group, listening to John the Baptist preach. He's finished a sermon, and now they're doing a question and answer time, and that's what's going on here. "And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you." Verse 14. "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. There the Bible records, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." And finally, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Would you pray with me before we dig into the text this evening? Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to worship our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Word of God that we hold in our hands, that we can hold in our hearts, that delivers truth to us. I pray that as we look into your truth this evening, that you would touch our hearts, make a difference, accomplish your plan and purpose in developing grateful hearts in us. And we'll be sure to praise and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, I want you to dig into these texts with me this evening to see what God wants to lead us, how God wants to lead us to find the strength to live contentedly in Christ. So would you consider with me, number one, contentment's expression. Contentment's expression. We find it in each of the texts that we read this evening, and it's basically stated the same way in each text. Simply a command, be content. We read in Luke 3, 1 Timothy 6, Hebrews chapter 13. Each of these texts has a different context and audience, but the same command. In Luke chapter 3, again, John the Baptist was addressing a mixed group when he spoke directly to soldiers and instructed them to be content with their wages. Soldiers in John's day, whether he was addressing a group of the Jewish temple soldiers or a group of Roman soldiers, either way, they were paid low wages, and many soldiers resorted to extorting others using their position or by plundering conquered foes. They would add to their wages, add to their salary, if you will, by resorting to those types of actions. Well, John called upon them to change their outlook and be content with their wages. Whatever your salary is, be content with it. So too in 1 Timothy 6, where Paul addressed a pastor for himself and his congregation. And then the epistle of Hebrews, where the penman addressed wavering Jewish converts. So in each context, you have a different audience, yet the same command, be content. As the context and audiences to whom this instruction to be content varied, so too do our situations. I dare say that if we were to go around the auditorium tonight and if we were to list out our income and our outgoing expenses week by week or month by month, if we were to list the additional expenses that are laid upon us and burdening us right now, if we were to list out all of the things that would accumulate our wealth, our bank account totals, our possessions, our homes, our vehicles, if we were to lay all of that out for one another, I would dare say that we would find that we have very different circumstances. And the same is true for those who are listening or watching in this evening. Very different situations. Literally, everyone hearing this message comes from a different walk of life, different circumstances, different social levels, different vocations, and different financial levels. We just are varied. Yet the instruction is something that we can all relate to. Be satisfied with the income you have. That's what John told those soldiers in Luke chapter 3. Does this mean that it's wrong to try to improve yourself? To accept a job promotion or pay raise or to take a better job? No, God's word commands me to be content, so I don't want that promotion. You write your boss, God's word commands me to be content, so while I appreciate the pay raise, I'd rather you take it back. Well, of course not. God's word is not commanding us that we can't try to improve ourselves, take a better job, accept a promotion at work if we can. That's not what God's word is saying. However, if we look at others and their possessions covetously, and decide that we will do whatever it takes to get to their level or to have the lifestyle that I want to have, then that is wrong. Are there times in our lives where we look at the possessions of others, we look at the situations of others, we look at their circumstances, or at least what we can see of their circumstances, with covetousness? perhaps think, I wish I could get to that point. I'll do whatever I can. I'll be a workaholic and get my priorities out of whack. I'll do whatever I can to climb the corporate ladder and just get to that point in my life. That is where the Bible draws the line. The word translated content in all three of these passages contextually means to be satisfied, but the original meaning, the original word's primary meaning is to be possessed of unfailing strength. Living a contented life is not always easy because life is not always enjoyable. Have you found that to be true? But that's not what contentment is about. It's not about life being enjoyable. Sometimes living with contentment is a difficult undertaking that requires strength. Yet the instruction remains, be content. I want you to consider not only contentment's expression, but consider contentment's explanation. This comes to us directly from 1 Timothy chapter 6 passage in verse number 7. At the funeral of a rich man, one of the mourners there began thinking of all this wealthy man's real estate holdings, his business interests, his personal fortune, and he asked one of the friends at the funeral service, how much did he leave? How much did he leave, responded the friend. All of it. Isn't that the case? How many times have we heard the phrase or used the phrase, you can't take it with you? And that's exactly Paul's reasoning in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7 when he explains contentment. Notice again that verse. He says these words, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Think about it with me this evening. What did you bring into the world? When you came into this world, what did you bring with you? Well, as much as I'd like to think so, my stunning good looks doesn't count for anything on that measure. It just doesn't. We bring nothing with us into the world. We came in with nothing, and we leave the same way. That recognition of this reality was crucial to Job's response to losing everything, as recorded in Job 1 in verse 21. You remember his story, right? Job was a wealthy man. He had much. But through a series of calamities within a short period of time, Job literally lost everything. And in response to that in his life, the Bible says that Job said, in Job 1:21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How could Job worship in that situation, having had, we might say, everything, and then losing everything and having nothing? How could he worship? Because he understood how he came into the world and how he was going to leave the world. The recognition of that reality is essential to contentment. The preacher of the Old Testament recognized the same truth and penned these words in Ecclesiastes 5, 15 and 16. As he, speaking of man, came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? The preacher of the Old Testament, Solomon, as he was going through different areas of life, possessions and relationships and vanities and entertainment, as he was looking at all the different areas of our life that we could build a foundation on and find satisfaction. In Ecclesiastes 5, he's looking at labor, working to get what you want, and he came to this conclusion: we come naked into the world, and that's the way we're going to go out of the world. What good is all the profit of your life to try to gain as much as you can going to be when you die and leave with nothing? One Bible writer said it this way: he emerged from the womb with nothing, and he would enter the tomb with nothing. Isn't it true that we tend to spend much of our time focused on and upset about what we do not have, rather than looking at what we do have and being thankful for it? Are you ever there? I know I am. It's easy to look around at life and think, well, I don't have that, and I don't have that, and I don't have this, and how much easier would that make my life, and how much easier would this make my life? If only I could have that item, if only I could have that income, if only I could have, and we go on and on and on, consumed with the things that we don't have, rather than focusing on being thankful for what we do have. Someone out there may watch or listen to this message and say, well, I have so very little, barely enough to live on. While that may be true, and I may personally have difficulty identifying with you because it's not the truth of my life and you truly have less than I do, the reality is that the little you have is still more than you had when you came into this world. Do you realize that? The little you have is still much more than you came into life with, and the little you have is still much more than you will leave this life with. Whatever you have is a gift from a good and gracious God. And people spend so much time being angry that He, God, did not give us more when we should be satisfied that He would give us anything at all, because He owes us nothing. Do you realize that there's also a recognition in this truth? We come with nothing, we leave with nothing. That all the things of this world, possessions, accomplishments, promotions, wealth, careers, relationships, ultimately all the things of this world are temporal. If you don't get any other thought this evening, don't miss this one. Contentment is ultimately living with a focus on those things that are eternal, and recognizing those things as the things that have real value. Contentment's expression. Be content. Contentment's explanation. How can I be content wherever I am in life, whatever my situation? Realize what you came with and what you're leaving with: nothing. And then thirdly, notice contentment's extent. You know, the Bible gives us a measuring line for contentment. The Bible essentially says, if you have this, be content. Well, what is that extent? 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We might call food and raiment the bare necessities of life. Is it possible to live with contentment with the bare necessities of life? What are they? The Bible says food and clothing. By the way, that doesn't mean multiple meals a day of the finest cuisines and multiple sets of clothing from the finest labels. If you have enough food to sustain life and a change of clothing, you can and should live contented. When I served as a youth pastor in Pensacola, Florida for many years, I once counseled a man who admitted to me in a conversation. It really wasn't the focus of the conversation, but it was something that came up. He admitted to me in the conversation that he and his family had not been tithing to the Lord for a considerable amount of time. As I tried to assist him at his request to help him to get to the place of faithfully doing that, we found that there were many things that his family had decided that they could not live without. They could not live without cable TV. They could not live without the latest video game console and games, without a subscription to play those video games with other people over the internet, and so on. The list went on. Those had been deemed necessities in their lives. How many of us have so much more than the bare necessities? I don't know about you, but I've got to raise my hand. I have a lot more than the bare necessities. We eat, we put leftovers in the refrigerator, and then we throw them out after they go bad. We have clothing in our closets that we've not used in years. You probably haven't even seen them in years. Yet we will say things like this: there's nothing to eat in the house. How many of you have heard that in your home? I don't have anything to wear. Have you heard that in your home? If we have the bare necessities, the Bible says we can and should be content with them. Contentment's extent. If you have food and raiment, you can be content. But I want us to consider the fourth thought this evening, not only contentment's expression, contentment's explanation, contentment's extent, but fourthly, consider contentment's enablement. While there are legitimate exceptions, many, if not most, people around the world have the bare necessities. Would you agree with that statement? There are legitimate exceptions. But many of the people in our world have the bare necessities, yet many do not live contented lives. There are people all around the world, some of whom have much, yet they're still unsatisfied. Many feel that something is missing, and they are looking for that something to fill the hole, when the reality is that only one can satisfy completely. Hebrews 13:5, which we read at the beginning of our message, says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said." In place of "for he hath said," we could rightly say, "because he hath said." You can live without covetousness and with contentment for this reason: because he has said. What has he said? "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." His promise to never leave, or if you will, abandon or forsake, which means to leave behind through neglect or forgetfulness, is the enabling that we need to live contented. How can I live a contented life even if all I have is the bare necessities? How can I live contented, focusing on being thankful for what I have rather than focusing on what I don't have? How can I come to the place of learning that in my life, of practicing it in my life, understand that the enabling to live a contented life, the enabling to live a satisfied life, the enabling to possess unfailing strength that enables you to be contented even when life is not enjoyable comes through the promise of the presence of Jesus Christ. It is not through a dream job. It's not through a new or a revived relationship. It's not through an abundance of things that you will be contented and satisfied. True contentment in life comes by the presence of Jesus. I love the way I heard a pastor describe it the other day. He was talking about the difference between happiness and joy, but he described it this way. He said, happiness comes from happenings. Happiness is about my circumstances. I'm happy when things are good. But then he said this, but true joy comes from knowing Jesus. How true that is. That's the idea of the enabling of contentment. It doesn't come through your circumstances. We can keep it alliterated like he did. Happiness doesn't come through happenings. True joy comes from knowing Jesus. Contentment doesn't come through circumstances. Contentment comes through seeking Christ. Augustine of Hippo, one of the early church fathers who lived back in the late 3rd century to early 4th century, wrote a book that is still very highly respected even among literary circles. It's entitled The Confessions. And this was Augustine's work following his conversion to Christianity, where as he sought the Lord and as he studied the Word of God, he wrote this work basically just laying out some of the truths that he had come to believe and accept in his life. In that work, Confessions, he wrote this one-liner statement that is so good. He said this, "Our hearts are restless until they can find rest in you." People go through life searching and searching and searching for that substance, for that relationship, for that career, for that possession, for that level in my savings account, to find satisfaction, to find contentment, to find, if you will, rest. But that true satisfaction, contentment, rest comes only in the presence of Jesus Christ. Is your heart at rest in Jesus? Everything else around you may be topsy-turvy, may be chaos, yet your heart can still be at rest in Jesus Christ. Or are you still searching for a home for your heart that can satisfy you in a way that no one and nothing else can? If you want the answer to living a contented, satisfied life, come to Jesus. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake thee. As you reflect on your life in light of the truths we have studied, are you living contentedly in Christ? Perhaps for someone listening this evening, the Holy Spirit has led you to recognize that you are not in Christ, that you've never been born into God's family through trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If that is your need today, then I invite you to trust Jesus as your Savior right now, wherever you are. Just call out to God in your heart, recognizing that you're a sinner, sincerely believing that Jesus is the one and only Savior and asking Him to save you. And the Bible declares that He will save you. But I'm also addressing several believers in Jesus Christ. Being in God's family does not mean that you will automatically live contented in Christ. If you're a child of God who has sought contentment or satisfaction apart from Jesus, seek Christ for the enabling you need to live in contentment. Be content is the Bible's instruction. Recognize you came into this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. Anything that you have, be it little or much, is a gift from a good and gracious God. If you have food and raiment, be content. How? Rest in the promise of the presence of Christ. Circumstances don't bring contentment, but Christ does. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this evening? And just for a few moments, I'd like to ask you to consider what we've looked at in the Word of God this evening. Over the next few weeks, we're going to continue a series on being thankful, having hearts of gratitude. Tonight, we've looked at this issue of contentment being found in Jesus Christ, and maybe the Lord is working in your heart. Perhaps for someone listening to this message, whether here or elsewhere across the internet, God has dealt with your heart about your need for Christ to be your Savior. If that's you, wherever you may be and whatever you may be doing right now, would you stop? Would you call out to the Lord in recognition that you're a sinner, that Jesus is the one and only Savior, and that by placing your trust in Him, sincerely believing on Him, that He died for your sins, was buried and rose again for your redemption, He paid the price for you to have salvation, and if you'll simply ask Him to be your Savior, He'll be your Savior. He'll save you. Maybe you're a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. You are a child of God, but you've been living uncontentedly. And you've made it about your circumstances. What you have, or maybe more truthfully, what you don't have. And God has worked in your heart this evening about needing to change that focus from being concerned about what you don't have to being thankful for what you do have, finding contentment not in your circumstances, not in your career, not in your relationships, not in what you have, but to find contentment in Jesus Christ. If God is speaking to your heart as a child of God, I would invite you right now to ask God to forgive you for being discontent, for having a wrong focus, and make a commitment to Him that you are going to seek Him and find your contentment in Him. Heavenly Father, we praise You so very much for the Word of God, for how You speak to our hearts and work in us. Lord, I pray this evening that You would take the message that has been delivered from Your Word and use it in the hearts and lives of those of us gathered here, of those of us who are watching or listening by way of the internet. If there is someone who needs to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation, I pray right now that You would convict them of that need and that You would draw them to Yourself. And help them to respond positively to the gospel invitation. For those of us who are believers, Lord, I think we all struggle with being discontent at times. please work in our lives to remind us day by day that we should be thankful because whatever we have, it is a gift from your good and gracious love. And it's certainly more than we deserve. Help us to be contented in Christ. And we'll be sure to give you the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.